Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text is the first reading, the Revelation 7 reading. You can find that printed for you in the bulletin to follow along. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, we believe that the beginning of this world was phenomenal, flawless even. The first book of the Bible tells us so. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And we believe that the conclusion of this world will be off the hook amazing. The last book of the Bible tells us so. Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. With a good beginning and a good ending, it's kind of safe to assume that the in-the-middle part will have nothing but uninterrupted good. But is that our experience? Here in the middle? No. Here in the middle, we seem to lack the good. Test to take. Hearts broken. Hurtful words spoken. Marriages on the rocks. People murdered in their place of worship. A hurricane wiping out an entire community. A country that is so politically divided. A loved one. And his or her dementia getting worse. Parents bearing their own child. The doctor speaking those words, "There's nothing I can do for you." We all have that list of experiences that ain't so good. In fact, downright bad. But in the midst of the bad, there's All Saints Day. We need a day like today. All Saints Day puts everything in perspective for us, giving us that huge, ginormous picture, reminding us of that great and glorious ending to which we will all have front row tickets on the last day. See, we are not Christians stuck in the middle. There's more. The best is yet to come. And that's what we hear all about in Rev 7. These two visions that Pastor John is given by our Lord. And we need both visions. The first vision deals with the saints here on earth. That's you. That's me. Revelation 7, verses 2 and 3. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Notice the angel comes from the east. Well, why is that important? Well, the east, that's the location of the Garden of Eden, the place of paradise, the very direction from which God will come to rescue and redeem and deliver his people forever. And so this vision really starts off on a good foot, eh? In other words, we are not left to fend for ourselves. Our Lord will come through for us. He will rescue us. But there's more. The angel holds in his hand a seal. Not just any old seal, the seal of the living God. Well, what's important about a seal? A seal marks ownership and responsibility and protection. Farmers would burn their seal into their animals. Masters would tattoo ink their seals onto their slaves. The seal is permanent and proclaims, "This belongs to me. Lay off." The angel in this vision is about to make good use of this seal of the living God. And so he barks out orders to the other angels, "Don't you even think about letting this world go up in smoke until every servant of God is stamped with his seal, marking them as his own, assuring them of his protective care." This is no deaf, dumb, mute idol we're talking about. This is a living God. He, of course, can and does take care of his own. Well, maybe the question you had hearing this Rev 7 reading was, well, who are these servants? Revelation 7:4. "And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel." 144,000 is the number of God's people in the here and now, in the middle. Now, this is not an exact number. It's not like that there are 144,000 of believers right here and right now on the face of this earth. It's a symbolic number, but it's a number that is packed full of meaning and comfort. How do we even get to this number, 144,000? Well, thank you for asking that question. I will now answer it. 12 times 12 times 1,000. Now, those two 12s are huge. A biggie 12 in the Old Testament, a biggie 12 in the New Testament. The biggie 12 in the Old Testament, the OT is, of course, the 12 tribes of Israel. The biggie 12 in the New Testament is, of course, the 12 disciples that God chose to kick off his church, his new Israel, that would include people from all nations, both Jew and Gentile. You and me included. So that number 12 represents God's people. But what about 1,000, Pastor? What does that mean? Well, thank you very much. I will answer that question too. 1,000 is the number used in the Bible for completeness. So putting two and two together, 144,000 is a picture of the entirety of God's people here on earth, in the here and now, in the middle. No matter the point in time between the ascension of our Lord and his return. Every single member, then, of the church is accounted for. Totally under God's protective care. None are lost. All are within God's grip. He will deliver all his people from all evil. You know what this means. Evil here on earth is not abolished, but rather put in its place. Totally contained, bookended by that good beginning and that good ending. Dear friends, my brothers and sisters, these evil days will not last. And it's not like we sit here watching evil and good duke it out, wondering, well, which one will come out on top? We know which one has already come out on top. Good. Good has triumphed over evil. The good God Jesus let evil have its way with him on Good Friday so that he could come forth from the tomb on Easter morning and have his way with us. And his way, dear friends, is uninterrupted, endless good. And so we bust out saying with the psalmist, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever." No matter how gruesome, no matter how gut-wrenching, no matter how painful, no matter how deadly the evil gets in this world, in this life, it is limited. It can harm you none. I mean, Jesus said, not a hair on your head shall perish. Folks, you are part of the 144,000, that numbered people of God. For you are baptized in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus tattooed his name on you. He branded you. He sealed you. He named and claimed you, promising to go all in for you, promising to be with you always, promising to work all things for your good, promising to protect you and guard you in the midst of this present evil age, promising to write for you a happily ever after ending. So don't fear the evil. Endure the evil with Jesus. Dear friends, we have hope in this life, in this time, in the middle, because we see where all of this is going. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We know what our future is. Now, that's what the second vision from Pastor John tells us. Our future, our bright future. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know who this multitude is, don't you? Our brothers and sisters who died in the faith. And they are not dead. They are alive and well. They see Jesus with their own eyes. Now, not us. We don't see Jesus. We hear Jesus. We follow Jesus using our ears. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Here on earth, we live by faith. There in heaven, live by sight. Our believing will give way to seeing. And that is so true for our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus this past year. Timothy, Margaret, Irene, Betty, Steve. They behold Jesus. They are fixing their eyes on that Lamb of God who bore our sins and was roasted in the inferno of God's wrath, setting us free from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil himself. They see those nail-scarred hands and feet and that spear-pierced side. Those are the scars that save us, the scars that triumph over evil, the scars that pay the price for our sins, the scars that comfort us as we sojourn here below, the scars that have earned our way back to that Eden above, where it's nothing but a rock concert. People gathered around Jesus and busting out praises to him. Revelation 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Talk about putting Billy Joel to shame. What a concert we have to look forward to. Dear friends, as Pastor John is having this vision, he's tossed a question. And it's a question that actually leads to our biggest surprise in our reading this morning. Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The comfort here is to the max. This elder tells Pastor John that standing before him are those who have come out of the great tribulation. That means the great tribulation is in the rearview mirror. It's behind them. It's in the past. It's over. The great tribulation is what we're going through right here and right now as we weep and we mourn and we suffer and we die. But the vision here is that the great tribulation is totally behind those clothed in white robes. You know what this means. Pastor John has the curtain pulled back for a brief moment, and he sees the church triumphant on the very last day. He sees all the believers from the beginning of this world to its very end. He sees every single soul who would read or hear of this vision, this Rev 7 vision, and be comforted. He sees Timothy, Irene, Steve, Betty, Margaret. He sees you. He sees me. We are in this vision, folks. He sees himself. He sees all the saints of God from all times and all places. But right now, we're in the middle. And that's okay. Because we know that we are not stalled out. As we listen to our shepherd's voice in his word, and as we sup at his table, we follow Jesus to the greatest ending ever. The goal of our faith, which is the new heavens and the new earth, where God will speak his very good over a new you and a new me. All the wrongs of this world will be made right. No more fear. No more pain. No more tears. Dear friends, the greatest joy is not behind us. The greatest joy lies ahead of us. This joy. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The saints are not stuck in the middle. For we are sealed for protection as we pass through this great tribulation onward and upward to the great celebration, which will have no end. Soon, my dear friends, it will be party on forever. Happy All Saints to you, each and every one of you. Come soon, Lord Jesus.